Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the call.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is Monday, January the 8th. And the markets that will never, ever go down again. Can they go for 241 days in a row? That's, by the way, for those of you who don't know, that is there's 241 trading days a year. And, of course, there is no sign of any weakness that the markets will ever go down again. And, of course, you know, hey, maybe they won't. Maybe we'll just go up forever and, you know, we'll buy. You know, where's Cramer when you need him? In the meantime, you know, last week was quite the week. You had one of the biggest first weeks in history. You have the start of the 10th year, basically, of this bull market, the longest it's run since the dot-com bubble. And, you know, markets are markets. And again, that's why we don't tell you that they cannot go higher. We tell you that, hey, you know, just make sure that you understand some possible protection for yourself, because at the end of the day, right, markets will do what they're going to do, and markets will continue to push until there's a reason not to. Now, the declining volume that we continue to watch, you know, is it a problem? Well, no, not really. I think there's reasons for the lack of volume. But I mean, one of the reasons that we don't really talk about very much is the lack of actual stuff to actually invest in, and then the creation of the ETFs. You know, as we get more ETFs to represent more things, it does take away the reasons to have to buy more different securities. You know, if you want to be, you know, in the S&P 500, you know, if you want to get a representation, you had to kind of create your own vision of an ETF and buy a number of different stocks. So I think that that's perfectly normal in considering a pull down in volume. The concern that I would have is the lack of volatility in markets. I think the lack of fear that we're experiencing and have experienced for quite a while is a concern. I think the complacency factor is a concern. Those are things that would be of worrisome to me, not the fact that the volume is lighter. I mean, obviously, I'd like to see heavier volume, but I think that the amount of debt that we continue to create, the amount of stuff we continue to ignore in a general economy, those would be something of concern from my point of view. Not the fact that the markets continue to go higher. I mean, or that the volume continues to decline. Again, those are some things to think about, but they're not. Some of it can be explained just simply by the amount, and don't forget the amount of dollars that it now takes for many of the stocks. You know, look at where we are price wise. So I think there's, you know, less available dollars to buy as well. But buying we are, and buying they're doing. I mean, you know, the margin debt continues to go up every single day, and that all that is a sense of people borrowing to leverage up a portfolio because it's so easy and it's like getting free money, right? I mean, there's no chance that the markets could ever go down again. We'll never see that major sell-off until we do. And this is the problem that, you know, out of the people's mouths are slipping the words that this time is possibly different. The economy has changed. And you know, again, you have to remember that we have to make money. And of course, they are making money at these ridiculously low interest rates. But the problem is, of course, there's no push to small business. There's actually an elimination of small business, and that becomes a problem. Even it's funny, but watching shows like Shark Tank, you know, now these are older episodes, but watching it and having them say, you know, like, how can you not do want to do business with a Walmart? Okay. And again, I have nothing against Walmart, except that, you know, they own you, and they own you until they don't want to own you anymore. And then they cut you out, and then you haven't built the business because you're too busy servicing Walmart. And basically what you're doing with the Walmarts of the world is you're funding them with your money that they get free, even with ridiculous low interest rates, they get free money from you and product to sell. So they get to take the money in while you're waiting. And then when they decide that they no longer need your services, they go out and build their own. So, you know, I think that that's an issue, but this is something that we're seeing, that everybody wants to go to the big guys. And that's kind of the way that we've been kind of, our minds have been kind of pushed to, is that, you know, the bigger, the better. And we can maybe have, you know, not maybe a monopoly, but duopoly. And I think these are things that become and create, excuse me, a much bigger problem. And of course, you're now with the talk of, you know, the government's trying to do some regulations on the cryptocurrency space. You know, those are always signs of fear. You know, fear shows up in many different ways. And one is when the government wants to put more regulations down on something that they don't understand. And, you know, I think not only do they not understand it, but they're also trying to figure out how to get their cut. Because, again, if they're going to continue to create these massive amounts of debt that we have, then how are they going to continue to go ahead and punish us with that ridiculous debt that they created if they can't understand the other currency, which means they're going to lose some of the money off the taxes and other things. And that's always the issues that things come down to. And this is why I believe that we need to have a full audit of the government, okay, to find out where indeed they're throwing away all of our money that they create. And to me, that's just another issue that becomes a bigger problem. You know, I think we can all agree that the current policies, although money is cheap, does not benefit the masses. And I think that should be the more prevailing story. You know, it didn't create more jobs like it should have. It didn't create better paying jobs like it should be. Okay. It is creating big profits for big companies. And, you know, again, I'm nothing wrong with big companies making big profit, but I would like to see the playing field more equal instead of being more tilted towards big business and the overall wealthy. Again, we've said it many, many times on the show. Well, the rich are going to get richer, and I don't have any problem with it. They got to that point. They should. They deserve it. And, of course, when you're willing to step in, when everybody else wants to step out, then you get rewarded for it. But I think I don't think that they should have a decided advantage from a day-to-day space and basis. And I think that is something that they do have. And that, to me, becomes more troubling. And the ability and the wantingness to continue the program like that. And this comes into the Fed already talking about changing the amount of rate hikes they're going to make next year. I think that becomes a lot of crap as well. So to me, there's a lot of things going on. But again, it does not mean that the markets are going down anytime soon. They could certainly continue to go higher. I'm not going to tell you to sell them. And I'm going to tell you to, hey, watch the footprints and look for opportunity on either side of the market. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, we want to remind you to check out our highschoolinvesting.com website. It's where we take care of high schools and teach them. And, of course, I, of course, put all the money into it myself. And I'm now looking to get some help from you guys if you'd like to step in. And that is at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. You can help us out. And with that, you get a membership into the High School Investing .com website, and you get to actually use it and see what's going on and learn something from it. And also, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm as we try to strive for our goal of 1 million downloads a month. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba, we'll be right back after the break.
The Bubba Show. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report. Happy New Year, Jan King. What's up?
Happy New Year. Well, just lots. I mean, 1 week into the new year, we've got new record highs, Dow 25,000. We're facing ridiculously cold temperatures across Chicago, New York, eastern U.S., and I served on jury duty this week, so it's been a busy year already.
The jury duty. Well, at least you made about $3. That was good.
It's 40. It's 40 bucks, and I get it in 8 weeks.
Wow! Isn't that nice? See, there you go. It's a great deal for you. I'm sure it's a high paying job. So Jane, we got a market, as you said, that are going ballistic, and they just keep going higher. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be. I just say that, you know, at some point you would think there might be something going on, but of course we just continue to see bonuses being given out by different companies and all these good things happening, but yet for some reason nobody's all that happy. Like the political scene is still a disaster because you still got everybody fighting. Why would people be fighting against President Trump when he seems to be doing a fairly decent job?
Well, I mean, welcome to USA 2018. I mean, it's, you know, here's the thing. Like, I just feel like the Democrats' argument on the economy is just not, I mean, anybody with any common sense who is not a complete partisan just looks at what is going on. I mean, just believe your eyes. I mean, we've got markets at record highs. They're ignoring everything else. I mean, protests in Iran and North Korea and trash talking there and just all the stuff that's happening. Markets are just completely ignoring it, and they're focusing on all the free cash flow that's going to be happening because of this tax cut. So, and it's not, I mean, Wall Street's one of the most, cruelest indicators there is. I mean, it's just brutally honest about things. And so the fact that we're hitting record highs, I think, shows that the policies are in the right direction. And it's not just investors that are making money. I mean, as you mentioned, people are getting bonuses. There's also money going to charity. There's more. I did a story this week about a regional bank in the Midwest. It's going to be donating like $150,000 a year now to charity because of the tax cuts and to community development and employee training. I mean, all this just great stuff for the economy. And David Tupper says that with the tax cuts, we're at the same stock values as we were a year ago. So he expects this rally to continue.
And I mean, again, I don't, but, you know, I get David, Appaloosa is a lot smarter than I am, so we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, look, we know the markets go up over time. They always go up 8% on average year over year. So at some point you would expect some selling. But I have a question for you. I mean, why are we totally ignoring the debt picture? You know, there's so much debt out there, and it's not very good debt either. And you know, we've now see Americans, which is a good thing for the economy, that are spending. But once again, they're spending more than they're making, which means that they're building even bigger debt using their credit cards and things like that. To me, that doesn't smell very good. That seems like a problem in the making. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I completely agree with you. So to me, that's my biggest concern. And I can't imagine once this debt really starts to settle in and people can't pay back and interest rates go up and all those things happen, it's going to be a financial crisis that I think will dwarf what we went through in 2008 and 2009, just because there's company debt, there's personal debt, there's student debt, there's municipal and government debt. I mean, what are we going to do? Who's going to bail who out? So I think that's a looming problem. The thing is, we're just not, it's long term. It's 2, 5, 10, 15 years down the road. And I think if people, believe that we can get this economy growing enough, we can lessen the impact of a potential debt crisis. I'm not so sure that'll happen, but I think that's, we're just looking in the near term right now.
Yeah, I mean, again, right now, obviously, we're always very short-sighted. We just, you know, ignore what could happen because it's not happening now. I think that's one thing that, you know, when you live in America and we have a free society, we always do that, right? We always don't think farther down the road. And of course, at some point, it will show up. But in the meantime, your 401k's got to be happy and, you know, you got to be happy. And that's always something that people find exciting. But, you know, when you look at the big picture, is there anything that you've seen that's been done that troubles you?
Well, Of course, you know, we just talked about the debt. So I think by far that's the most troubling thing. I think, you know, some of the things that are happening in Washington, like the tax plan is great, but there are a few things in it that I don't think are really great. You know, the carried interest. You know, I think it's still complicated that we've still got seven layers of tax code, you know, taxes for people depending on income. So that's, I wish it were simpler. I feel like when it gets really complicated like that, that contributes to some of the corruption and some of the unevenness in the tax. So I would have liked to seen that more simple. Still, we're talking about health care. I hope that gets settled. That's a huge problem as well. And I just, you know, we talked about jury duty earlier. I mean, this is just perfect government. So I go in and you have to sign these forms and they're like what I used like in elementary school, where you press really hard with your pen and to get it on all five copies so they can go to all these places. I mean, it's just, you know, I feel like government could be more up to date, more technologically advanced. And I feel like that would save a lot of money as well.
Well, listen, I'm a firm believer that we could have no debt if we would just go up and clean out the government. I don't mean get rid of everybody. I mean just go through an audit and quit throwing all the money away that they give away. Because as you know and I know, that a lot of these government contracts are totally ridiculous. And it's a terrible structure.
I mean, it's not just, I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's tons of stuff out there that could be done differently. That, you know, immigration is going to be, of course, a hugely hot topic. And, you know, it kind of troubles me that we're, you know, not being serious about tackling that. I mean, I think the president is, but by the time things get done, they're so watered down. I think that's a problem. I mean, not just the cost of it, but also just kind of like just the confusion and all that goes on with illegal immigration. And then I'm troubled by, you know, what I see at the universities. I mean, there were stories out this week about professors who think the Constitution is racist or think that, you know, being civil is racist. And I'm just like, oh my God, where are we going with this? You know? So those kind of bigger issues bother me because I worry about education and I worry about kids and I worry about what they're learning in our schools and universities.
Well, I mean, it's become really, really a joke when you, I mean, you know, I had two kids in college and, you know, both are very liberal colleges and, you know, like nobody can understand. It really is sad when you look at the big picture. But so now, you know, here we are and we've got some issues going on, but we've got the debt ceiling coming up again in 2 weeks. And, you know, Trump wants the wall and they want DACA and all these other things. But do you think they can solve this problem or do we shut down? What's your take? It looks to me there's a good chance they could shut down because I can't imagine Trump giving in this time. And I know that I don't think Schumer and Pelosi are going to give in on the on their side. And the advantage they have is their mandate doesn't come out for another 2 months. So they could actually create a problem, which could then possibly create a problem for Trump. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, interesting. I think I don't think the Democrats really have much of a good hand right now. I mean, everything they've said has turned out not to be true. So I think they're losing credibility with the public. And they've got to change their if they want to be successful. I mean, you know, we didn't see, you know, they talked about, you know, the tax cut plan just goes to the rich. Well, it's not true. I mean, people are getting bonuses. We're really going to know in the next few months, you know, what our paychecks are going to look like and what we're going to pay in April and October. So, you know, what they said wasn't true. They overreacted to a lot of things, you know, the healthcare thing, people are going to die, you know, this other thing, people are going to die. I mean, it was just, the American public is smarter than that. So they knew that this was like an over-exaggeration. I think if there's one thing Trump is, he's good at the media. The media hate him, but he breaks through somehow. And even though some of the stuff he says is crazy and people are it's outrageous and people go crazy about it, he gets his message through. And I think he's going to win this one as well.
Jane King, Lila Maxmi, The Continuing Report. Happy New Year. And thanks, as always, for being part of the show.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
And, of course, that was our friend, a fellow educator in the world of trying to educate children, Jane King, who you got to catch her. She's on syndicated coast to coast on TV. So make sure you check some of her stuff out. In the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. And, of course, you can get The Sporting Edge there as well. And if you're not getting Bubba's Daily Update, which I do email to you for free every day after the close, you're making a mistake. Get there and get it. Go to BubbaTrading.com. fill out the box, and every day after the close, I will send you what I saw during that day and what I expect for the next day. And, of course, we do that every day after the close, and it gets emailed directly to you at no cost. So why don't you check it out? Go to BubbaTrading.com and check that out. And we will be back after the break with more. And Matt Demeter, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horvitz coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And of course, Matt is our cryptocurrency expert and our technical expert. What's up, Matt?
I'm good. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing good. I mean, I'm watching the markets as you so well predicted. They're going higher. And we've seen a little bit of a slowdown or a calm down in some of the cryptocurrency space. And I guess my first question to you would be, why have the cryptos kind of settled down here for the last, week or so? They're just kind of, not terrible, but they're not going straight up as they were, and they're not going straight down as they were. They're just kind of churning in a range. What do you see?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's true about Bitcoin, but I think on our last call, we were talking about Ether, and it was in the 700s, and now it's in the thousands, so 1,074 as we speak. So it's doing pretty well for 1 week, but some of them have been doing very well. Others, have slowed down. Bitcoin in particular, as you know, is one I'm not going. We're keeping a very minimal percentage in our portfolio in that one. But some of the other ones, they slowed down a little bit. They're consolidating, and I think the next move is higher. But they're all getting a little bit overbought. Actually, I should say, it would be healthy to have a pullback. Even with Ether at this level, there is resistance up here. Resistance doesn't seem to last very long. In our last call, I said, mid 900s would be where I'd be looking for the next resistance. It came in at about 940, and it only lasted for about 24 hours. It kept hitting that level, bouncing back down, hitting it again, and then it eventually broke it. And when it did a little spike to the upside, once it got free, it came right back down to that level at 940 and found support. So now, who knows? When you're looking at – what's really crazy is when you're looking at cryptos, you think, you think it might take a week, a month for some of these moves to happen if you're charting them out. And they happen in days sometimes, and you're just – it's like they're on a time warp. So it makes it kind of fun. You get more volatility than you would in other markets.
Well, that for sure you get volatility, and sure, volatility creates opportunities to make money. Now, do you think – I know you have some issues with the Bitcoin, and I've talked about them, fees and all kinds of things, but do you think that the legitimizing with the products that are on the CME and the CBOE, has that maybe slowed down some of the volatility in the Bitcoin for now?
Yeah, it could be. That could be part of it. The fact that the futures are there to hedge. I think even without the futures, Bitcoin was having problems because it was just so overbought on monthly RSI, which we talked about. It's still, now that it's in the 16,000s again, monthly RSI is about 97 again. So that's just you can't go much above that. Obviously, 100's the top. So we could get back to 20,000. We could even go higher, but not much higher. And it's going to be slowed down just from the fact that it's way overbought on those long term indicators.
Now, how's it like the monthly RSI on Ether?
See, that's concerning me too. That's starting to get toward overbought. Well, it's definitely in the overbought zone already. Monthly is almost 90, I think. I'm just going to check. Yeah, it's at 90. So it's a good time to lighten up, in my opinion. So that's what we're doing. We had a large position in Ether, an oversized position in Ether, and as we got into the 900s, we started taking more off. But it's still one of our favorite positions, but they'll most likely be a better price to buy at.
I would think so. And of course, we talked the other day about Ripple, and Ripple had the CEO was on a TV show. And, what's your take on Ripple that has now become, it's a lot of the talk. Now, it doesn't mean it's worth anything, but what's your take on Ripple?
Well, my take on Ripple is that it's an intermediary between fiat currencies. It's designed to replace the SWIFT system. So, if you're sending dollars to Europe and they're going to convert to euros on the other end, you take your dollars, you buy Ripple, you send the Ripple to Europe. Whatever bank is receiving it, they receive the Ripple, and they sell the Ripple for euros. That's how my understanding of it is. So there's really no net buying of Ripple. So it doesn't really make a lot of. Their stated goal is not to be world currency. So they're solving a problem, which the SWIFT system is. The technology is super old. It goes back to the late 50s, and are still using it. And in the past few years, they've had major problems with it where million-dollar wires would just get lost. So, and they'd have to go track them down. So it's solving a real-world problem. It has some value, but it doesn't have – they've never stated they want it to be world currency. With that said, it could function as world currency. I mean, it has very low transaction costs. It's pre-mined currency, so you don't have – but it's super centralized too. And so when you worry about centralized versus decentralized, Ripple is super centralized. I mean, it doesn't have the attribute that everybody likes about Bitcoin and a lot of these others, is that it's decentralized. Everybody's running nodes, et cetera. So it could be crushed at any point by government if they decided to do so. The other thing is that I don't know if people realize it, but Ripple, the currency, is 60% owned by Ripple, the company. So they're, I'm sure, quite happy with the market cap going over $100 billion because Ripple, the company, is now exceptionally, the individual shareholders are very wealthy now. So, yeah.
Now, do you see anywhere where there's more products put out into the open market that will represent something? Like, for example, we have the S&P 500, which tracks the 500 stocks. Do you foresee a potential ETF that tracks numerous cryptocurrencies at once as well?
Yeah, I think I've heard of ETFs that might track the top five cryptos. I've heard that come up, and I think that would be great. Again, anything if it's not attached to the cash market in any way, I don't know if it's a super positive for the cash market necessarily. But it would bring in more, retail, at least retail customers that want exposure, and they can do it easy through their brokerage accounts that they already have.
Right. I mean, again, it's to me, you're hearing a lot of talk that a lot of the governments are trying to put some restrictions and regulations on Bitcoin and things like that. I don't know how they can if they're decentralized and, they don't know what you're holding supposedly. So how could they actually go ahead and put some restrictions on those? Is there any way that you see that they can do that?
No, they can't. I mean, the only thing that the real way that they can harm the crypto space is by outlawing the exchanges. That's the way that's sort of the bottleneck on crypto is the current exchanges where you would go in and buy the cash market. But with that said, even if they do that, all they're really doing is slowing down what I think is an unstoppable trend, because if you want to transact in Bitcoin or any other crypto, basically you can hold it in your wallet, whether it's an online wallet or a hardware wallet. And if you want to buy goods, you can send it to some, you know, anybody across the world as simple as an email. And, you know, governments would have to shut down, you know, basically shut down the internet to stop that kind of traffic in crypto.
Well, right now, and I see that, you know, and again, a lot of the sites, you know, for, you know, online poker and online gambling sites that are not necessarily legal in this country, they allow you to, if you're willing to come in with Bitcoin or those cryptocurrencies, they're welcoming you in, and not only that, but they're giving you a bonus, which to me just says that these are here to stay and they're for real, and it's really more of a little bit of a revolution against the current system. What do you think?
I agree. You know, I think that it would be, they, even if the United States said, you know, that cryptos were illegal, they would, first of all, they have to reverse all their, you know, what they've done with futures and so forth and the acceptance of it so far. But even if they did it, then there's always going to be a jurisdiction that will allow it. And a lot of these countries are having currency problems. And I would think, you know, there'd be some that would find a benefit to being, you know, sort of a crypto capital, you know, and whether they can find a way to tax a little bit, I don't know. But I think there's always going to be some jurisdictions that will allow it, and therefore
make them real and make them spectacular. And of course, that's what I think. I do think that's where we're headed. I have said all along that I think this is a financial revolution. I think that's part of what's going on. And I think, again, I do believe that they're here to stay in some form. And I think they will be obviously much more accepted as we go forward. But we are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you check out his website. He's got some of the greatest stuff on there and has been on top of these markets basically since the beginning. And I urge you to check him out at DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at LibertyTalk.fm and help us get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. So get there and download that show. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more from Matt after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And I encourage you to check out his website, DemeterResearch.com, as you want to get some of the latest, best information from our technical analyst. All right, Matt. So, you know, you and I have talked for months about the euro, first of all. And the euro has had a, you know, a relatively big move. And, you know, I know you were originally tracking 122 when we got close to, you know, around a little over 121, I think. And what's your take of the euro from these levels?
Well, it's done the minimum of what I wanted to do. I wanted to see a double bottom in the dollar, and I wanted to see at least a double top in the euro, which is basically what we've gotten. The dollar didn't quite double bottom, but the euro got back up to the prior level and, you know, right around 121. That was the minimum I wanted to see. I would give it a little bit of – I would still think it's possible for it to go a little bit higher, as high as even 123. But with that said, we entered our short position at 121. So we're now short. And if you look at what the commercials are doing, they are heavily short. This is their largest short position ever. So, you know, as long as the COTs have been recorded, this is their biggest euro short position. So – I think from here, it's a no-brainer short. If it goes higher, we'll short more.
And which I don't blame you. I agree with that. And I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons. But first of all, technically speaking, which is what we're doing. And, of course, I know you were looking for, I think it was about 340 or 350 in copper. And copper has made a pretty nice move up. But, you know, is it got more room to go, or are we pretty near the top in your eyes?
That's a tough call with copper. We got to 332 approximately about a week ago. And, you know, I think it could have pushed a little bit higher. So I don't think necessarily that's the top, but it could be. My answer is it could be, but I would like to see it even go higher. I'd like to see it go to 340. So we're short, you know, and we've added a little bit to that, but if we go a little bit higher, we'll get our full position on.
Right now, but now I ask you something about risk versus reward, right? So in your eyes, the risk reward certainly favors being short copper here versus being long copper here, correct?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So again, sometimes you wonder, and that's one of the things I talk about with people all the time, is how to build a position. You don't lay it all out and say, this is it. We can't go any farther. This is a spot where if you're not in and you want to short, then this would be a spot to start shorting it, would it not?
Absolutely. And talking about commercials again, as you know, I consider the smart money. They and copper have their largest short position ever, just like with the euro, largest short position ever. So they're betting heavily against copper going, you know, much higher. So it's a good place to get short. And if we go higher, I'm going to be shorting more.
All right. And of course, oil has been another one. Now, you and I differed on opinion, and you said that you thought probably 63 was the tippy top, if I remember correctly. And of course, I never thought it'd get over 60. But of course, here we are, you know, just over 61. What do you think? What's your take on the oil markets here?
Yeah, here, if I didn't have a short position in oil, I would definitely start one. And we made it to – these are descending targets. So the 63 target came in at about, you know, about 62. We went just slightly past, which is fine. That was within the margin of error. I've added to my short position, and, you know, I would recommend doing the
right.
same.
Okay.
But I think there's actually a little bit more. If I look at I'm looking at the weekly RSI, and I had a target of about 75, and it didn't quite make it. So I wouldn't be surprised to see one more pop to the upside, which might get us to maybe, you know, 65 in price, maybe a little bit, maybe even 66 in price. And that I would think would be the top. And I would have a full and heavy short position on oil at that point.
Right, looking for it to go back to $10, which you and I both believe that it's
right.
Well, I mean, someday. I mean, we're not saying
no.
Tomorrow.
I agree. No, I totally agree.
Now, I think it's been interesting the way that gold has been trading, especially. I thought it was pretty much overvalued. I thought it had broken down, but now it looks like it's trying to break out. And you know, again, it had interesting action last week. It broke and then it rallied right back, and it's been almost impossible to get it to break down again. And it hasn't really broken out much, but it is kind of churning around here. What's your take on the gold markets here?
Well, my take is that we've had this rally. It's gotten up to this pivot resistance level that I had at 13, the low 1320s, 1320. It's a rising pivot line. And so far it's respected it. That's where we are right now, 1322. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it either pull back from here, or if it can punch through and maybe get up to 1350, that's where I have my next resistance level. And I do think that we're going to see another leg to the downside, you know, because of the technicals and because of what the commercials are doing. When we were looking at this about a month ago, the commercials had really reduced their short position in both gold and silver. They were they're always short, but when you look back over the past 10 years, they've always been short gold and silver. So it's just a matter of, are they very short or are they very lightly short? And a month ago, they had a tiny short position on both gold and silver. So we were looking for a rally at some point. We've gotten that, and then we wanted to see what would they do. Would they short back into the rallies, or would they just let it run this time? Well, once again, they've added to their short positions, and it's been on heavy volume. So I think when we see the next COT, we'll show that they're shorting even more, and so that's gonna, you know, sort of put a cap on how far both metals can run. So yeah, I think we're either gold's going to stop here or we'll stop at 1350, and then we'll see a reversal to the downside.
And when does the VIX go to zero?
Right. I don't know. The VIX VIX just is just a losing proposition repeatedly. If I look at the options, they're radically skewed again price wise towards calls. Calls are very expensive. Puts are very, very cheap. So I forget what the ratio is, but it's something like 20 or 30 to 1. So so I would think we should get some volatility at some point. You know, everything is frothy here in terms of the intraday indicators are all overbought. You've got sentiment, which is, you know, astronomical. It's at a new all-time high in terms of bullish sentiment, which is a contrary indicator. I think there was a I forget which survey it was, but it essentially goes from 0 to 100, and it got up to 109, which suggests that not only are managed money guys 100% long, they've gone on to margin by 9%, so now they're 109% long. So, I mean, you would think you would get a pullback at some point based on the indicators and those kind of things.
But they keep telling me this time is different. Isn't this a different market now? Haven't things changed? Aren't you doing things differently now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's just up and away forever, I think. So everything's fine.
You know, there's no worries, nothing to worry about. But, you know, of course, you called 8,000 in the NASDAQ when it was, I don't know, it was a lot lower than it was even now. And, of course, it's continuing to push higher. Do you see any pullback in the NASDAQ coming anytime soon? Or is this going to just keep pushing up like a machine and just keep going? I mean, it appears it has nothing to stop it.
That's really the hard part. I mean, you know what? A lot of times when you have, like in March 2000, when the NASDAQ essentially just went vertical and it just kept going and going, never really pulled back, and got to, you know, its target around 5,300. With these end type moves, I think it could just go straight up, but, you know, If this was an average time, I would say, yeah, we're going to get a pullback because it's overbought, and it would be healthier for it to have that pullback. But we could just go straight to the target at this point, and then, you know, that would make the crash that much worse.
Matt Demeter, I agree with that. But as we have run out of time, as always, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. As always, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Todd, it's always great to be here.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and just want to remind you to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day so you can help us reach our goals. And don't forget to check out Bubba's Daily Update, which you can be gotten at bubbatrading.com. All you have to do is fill out the form, and I'll email it to you every single day. We have been with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his site, and we'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.